radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Space is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. There you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Hang on to My name is Renoka Rashidi. I'm an avid fan of and a big supporter of Brother Junior Stanton.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton, and we wish you a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year as we transit into 2012. We started off the program with a message in the music, Take Six and Layla Hathaway, doing their rendition of her father's seminal piece, Someday We'll All Be Free. And Someday is moving forward, and our goal is to assist in the mental and psychological liberation of our people and the world, because the forces of evil, the forces of oppression, the forces of greed, negativity, and psychopathy are attempting to throw a blanket over the world and strangle us in their evil and wicked plan for total domination, as well as the desecration and the dehumanization, meaning they intend to desacratize, to take away our divinity, to make us less aware of who we are, even than we are now. They want to dehumanize us, reduce us to functioning on the purest hedonistic and animalistic non-thinking level, truly ruled by our passions and the lower drives that we have that are God-given, but they are put here to help us to grow and help us procreate our species, but they are to be ruled and put into sublimination by our higher consciousness. And they are taking away the higher consciousness, keeping us on superficial, dumbed down, and disoriented from what we should be about. And so here at Rainbow Soul, particularly on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, we're offering you safe haven. It's a safe house for your mind. We will not deluge you with the claptrap and the mind games that you get on the corporatist media. You will not get the lies and deceit that is promulgated by the ruling elites. Now, some of the things that we may share with you may seem strange simply because you've been lied to on such a quantum level about who we are, about current events, what's going on, that the truth seems radical. George Orwell said, during times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes revolutionary. We are living in times of universal deceit. We've been lied to about just about everything, whether it's the economy, whether it's the unemployment rate, whether it's the overall health and well-being of us as a people, you name it. We've been lied to, or what I call the disinformation and the basic dumbing down of us as a people. That is not what we aim to do here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary. Our goal is to offer food for thought. We're not attempting to think for you, nor do we say that you take everything we say in an uncritical manner. Test it, check it out, recheck it, then make up your own mind. but also do the same thing with the information you're being given by the so-called professional press and the professional media, because it has long been shown that they're biased one way or the other. I don't subscribe to the left-right, Republican-Democrat type of paradigm and dichotomy. I boil it down to a much simpler truth versus deception. Ma'at versus Isfet. And as we go on and as you continue to listen, you'll understand more of what we're talking about. We're going to take a break for some messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back following these messages with a commentary from my blog, From the Ramparts. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. From the Rampart, dispatches from the front line, observations and commentary on the psychological warfare and the battle for our mind, body, and soul with Junius Ricardo Stanton. From the Ramparts, Happy New Year, Abaragani. As we transit into 2012, I wish each and every one listening to this a full year of prosperity, health, wholeness, empowerment, but most of all, courage. The courage to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life so you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be. The new year can be thought of as a new series of opportunities to actualize our potential, to make the myriad possibilities and options at our disposal real. The world is what we say it is for us. We have the power and potential to call things that be not as if they are,
meaning we can create by calling forth our ideas, desires, and images and allow the universe to work on our behalf to make them so. We have the gift of imagination, the ability to form ideas, pictures, and images in our mind's eye. All too often, we just use this powerful tool, this immensely powerful tool, only on a lower potency or lower frequency level by merely daydreaming, engaging in fantasy, or wishful thinking. We have the ability to be creators, and we can take full advantage of what we already have right here and now to move to a higher level by using our innate powers of imagination to envision a better world, wholesome communities, healthier families, a more civil environment, peace, and prosperity. In contemporary culture, we hear so much about New Year's resolutions. People make lists of what they want to do, be, and accomplish during the coming year. Unfortunately, because we have not been taught how to actualize our latent powers, our talents, gifts, and aptitudes, because we do not know who and what we really are, and we have not been taught the principles of success, we stumble through life rarely accomplishing or achieving the things we say we want out of life. Rarely do we actualize our full potential. Why is that? Because we allow others to set our agenda, determine what is important, define our worldview, set our self-image and focus. We live in a culture that is essentially unspiritual, overly materialistic, and ethically cretinous. It is no wonder most of our energies are dissipated and misdirected away from our best interests toward maladaptive, conformist behaviors that enrich other folks but endanger our own health, well-being, and undermine our social networks. We, as a people, are literally sleeping giants, slumbering away as the world and our lives pass us by. Even worse, we find ourselves sitting on the sidelines, unaware of the reality that life is not a spectator sport. Wake up, get up, and begin to take charge of your life. Happiness, success, and fulfillment are inside jobs. No one can make you happy or unhappy. Happiness is not based upon circumstances or your bank account. We are currently in the throes of an economic downturn. So if your happiness is based on your income, your cash on hand, the economy, or any such thing, you're probably not feeling too euphoric right now. If your happiness is based upon the political landscape, you probably aren't feeling real cheerful now, with all the partisan bickering, incivility, foolishness, and betrayal going on across the political spectrum. But if your happiness is based upon a confidence and inner assuredness that all is well no matter what, you are in good shape. Better yet, if you envision a better life for yourself, your people, and community, and you are living in accordance with your vision to the best of your ability, you are probably a happy person. I produce and host several internet radio programs on several different internet radio stations. I have to do research to prepare for the guests and topics I cover. Most of my topics are about serious matters such as the wars, politics, and the economy. People who are on satellite and internet radio refer to traditional radio as terrestrial radio because of the towers and the signal comes via the airwaves. Periodically, I listen to terrestrial talk radio to get a feel for what people are talking about and how they see the world. What we listen to reflects our consciousness and interests. What you listen to tells a lot about you. What we watch, read, or listen to reinforces our belief system and values, or more correctly and accurately, the beliefs and values we have been indoctrinated to accept. Frankly, I'm flummoxed when I listen to sports talk radio stations. The way the callers refer to their favorite team as we, as if they're on the team, as if they suit up, practice, sweat, and play the games. They know more about the professional athletes' batting averages, yards per carry, free throw stats than they do about their own selves. They're hyped to the point of fanaticism and foolishness about men and oftentimes women making millions of dollars playing games, more so than they are about their own lives. Sports is a multi-billion dollar industry. As a former high school and college soccer and basketball referee, I know scholastic and collegiate athletics can be an integral part of a well-rounded educational experience. But all too often today, professional sports are nothing more than an escapism, a way to put the doldrums and monotony of life on hold for a few hours. But why are we bored and stagnant in the first place? Life is too full of opportunity and way too short for such things. What if we put the same enthusiasm we put into watching sports into the various aspects of our personal lives? What if we put the same attention to detail and preparation into our own lives we put into making sure we have just the right items for the tailgate party? What if we researched and applied metaphysical and spiritual principles the same way we researched and negotiated our fantasy football pick? Do you think there would be a lot more energized and happy people around? Here's a suggestion for this year, 2012. Minimize being a spectator and become more active. Get up, get out, and do something different. Enjoy participation in life rather than being a mere witness. Take up a hobby. Pursue one of your dreams and your goals. Volunteer. Go for it and see what happens. More than likely, the process will be an enjoyable one. You'll learn a lot about yourself in the process, and you'll be happy doing it. From the Rampart, 2012. We're going to take a musical interlude and we'll be right back. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah.
Our musical interlude was provided by Desiree. Reggae flavor, very conscious sister. And the title of her piece is Love Yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. Quite true, and it's part and parcel to the great admonition to love the Creator with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you cannot love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. To the degree and the extent that you love yourself and you realize that you and the Creator are one, you're an extension of the Creator, then each and every thing in existence is a part of you. So you extend that love to all creation. And that's really the understanding why First World people offered up prayers and thanksgiving when they engaged in hunting and they had to kill another living creature. And you saw that in the motion picture Avatar, where the indigenous person told the clone or the earthling that was projecting himself into the form of one of the indigenous people, she talked about the universal spirit. And that whole movie was a metaphor, allegory about the history of consciousness in the world, but it was just set into the future. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, and we call it a safe house for your mind, because here you don't have to worry about being assaulted by exploitative and maladaptive values, sounds, or content. This is about empowerment. It's about waking us up. Like I said earlier in the program, I quoted George Orwell, who as a writer, and that was his pen name, but as a writer, he understood what the forces of evil and wickedness were attempting to do. And that's what his books like Animal Farm in 1984 were about, to try to let people know what was coming down the pike. And what we're going to do today, in today's program, is offer some predictions for 2012. Not that I'm some kind of swami or genie or a great prognosticator, but it would not be hard, because the best predictor of current and future behavior or trends is past behavior or past prior patterns. And so as we enter 2012, we want to look at some past trends and then project them and extrapolate them out into the future. Now, this is by no means written in stone, because a lot of the projections and predictions are dire and do not bode well for the life of this planet and the people and other myriad creatures that inhabit it. We're a blue-green ball traveling, suspended out in space, traveling around the sun as the sun transverses in relationship to the other stars and the other galaxies and the other solar systems in what we call the universe. Unfortunately, a maladaptive consciousness has sprung up amongst us and is attempting to overturn the natural order. Now, earlier I talked about Ma'at and Isfet. Ma'at is an ancient philosophical and ethical concept. It's a cosmology looking at the world from ancient African eyes. The ethics of Ma'at predate those of the so-called Mesopotamia, the land of the two rivers, the Hammurabi's code. Ma'at was a holistic view of life. It was a look at the microcosm reflecting the macrocosm. To fully understand it, you have to think in terms of a first world person, think in terms of an African who was awestruck by creation. Not in a superstitious way, but in a sense of way of reverence and truly understanding the powers that existed to create this universe. And so they talked about the first element was divine order, because they looked up in the sky and they saw order. Their imaginations, they saw the arrangements of the distant stars, and in their mind they saw pictures of animals and people and pictographs, which we later call constellations. But they saw order. They saw symmetry. They saw balance. They saw a flow where there was an embracing and this being a part of this flow. So they called it divine order. Ma'at also included truth, harmony, balance, justice versus revenge. Hammurabi's code was more revenge, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, blood for blood. This was about justice, true justice, righteousness in terms of rectitude, morality, ethic, and reciprocity, meaning cooperation and mutual aid. But they all blend together in a holistic view. You can't separate one from another. You can't take Ma'at is not Ma'at if you take out justice. Ma'at is not Ma'at if you take out reciprocity or reconciliation, because reconciliation is about harmony, truth, divine order, and balance. You know, there's always a constant moving toward equilibrium, balance in the universe. So even if there is something ajar, and you saw this in, like, I guess for a frame of reference to Star Wars, you know, there's an imbalance in the Force, or there was some kind of in the Force, in the Star Wars movies was nothing more than a takeoff on the Taoist view of the universe, that it is an ordered whole. The Taoist view of the universe is just more widely known than the Machian one, the African one, because they're not going to give Africans credit for anything. They, meaning the Europeans. But we're talking about a holistic view of life, and the life is a microcosm of the macrocosm of the universe. Now, Ma'at has an opposite or counter flow. It's Isfit. And obviously, in divine order, you would have anarchy, chaos. The opposite of truth is deceit. The opposite of harmony is discord. The opposite of balance is imbalance. Justice, the opposite would be predation and exploitation. Righteousness is wickedness and evil. The opposite of peace is discord and animosity. The opposite of reciprocity or reconciliation would be exploitation, predation, and constant conflict. And so you look at this, which basically I talked about anarchy, deceit, imbalance, discord, predation, individualism, exploitation. That is the underlying philosophy of the West, for the most part, or the Western leadership, let's put it this way, the ruler elite, the people at the apex of the pyramid who set the tone and tenor for the culture, versus an African or first world view, divine order, truth, harmony, balance, justice, righteousness, reciprocity, peace. And reciprocity means cooperation and mutual aid. That's how quote-unquote primitive people, first world people, organized and viewed the world. So-called modern man, meaning the European, and those who ascribe, give assent, and who buy into their values are of Isfet. one of the things of Ma'at, the African way, was to blend in and try to structure and attempt to structure all relationships based on Ma'at. Were they perfect? Of course not. But that was the ideal, that was the goal. Isfet, on the other hand, is an attempt, and we can see this today in this culture. And after that, I'm going to move on to some of my predictions for 2012. The anarchy will be caused, the opposition of the divine to the divine order is caused by a willfulness, a psychopathy, a mindset that says, I will challenge and take on the universe. I will be at war with nature. And we hear this in the language of the Europeans. They're at war with nature. They're at war with Mother Nature. They want to control the environment. That's willfulness, as opposed to being in harmony with it, going with the flow. They want to be in opposition to it. The opposite of peace is war. Constant war, but because of their deceitfulness and because of their insanity, they call it peace. And this is what George Orwell talked about in 1984, the constant state of war, perpetual war. And we're seeing it now. It is coming to pass in this country, in this political and economic system that is in opposition to the natural order. And so with that, we'll move to some of the predictions for 2012. On a domestic level, here in the United States, we're going to see a continuation of the Occupy movement. We saw how the Occupy movement was shut down forcibly and aggressively, in many cases violently, by the status quo in the state at the behest of the government. And we're going to share something with you just to buttress our point. The mayor of Oakland was at a press conference, and she shared that she had been in a teleconference with 8 other mayors. I believe it was eight or 18 other mayors. And they talked about how to shut down the Occupy movement. And it was later discovered that the Department of Homeland Security was in on the call. Now, just coincidentally, the president wasn't here. He was out of the country. But nonetheless, it came to awareness that the Department of Homeland Security was in on the calls and probably structured and offered suggestions, because they all were at the same time, 1 a.m. in the morning. The police came in full riot, Gestapo-type gear, and they just bum-rushed the people and crushed the so-called movement. And we want to just validate what we just said so that you understand the implications of this and what I'm going to say about the future.
I was recently on a conference call with 18 cities across the country who had the same situation, where we had started as a political movement and a political encampment, ended up being an encampment that was no longer in control of the people who started them. And what I think you're starting to see is that the Occupy movement is looking for more stability. I spent a lot of last week talking to peaceful demonstrators, ones who wanted to separate themselves in my city away from the anarchist groups who lived in, looking for a confrontation with the police and who've been responsible for a lot of vandalism in the city. They're now looking for a private space where they can go to do community organizing around the issues that started the movement. And so I think you're going to find that either the encampments are going to try to move to places where they're not in direct conflict. And so I heard about Mass in Wisconsin. They're on a freeway ramp with a used auto lot, but they're not near a community, but they're very visible from the freeway. In New York City, it's interesting that the Wall Street movement is actually on a private park, so that they're not, again, in the public domain, and they're not infringing on the public's right to use a public park. And so I think you're going to see more of that, because the Occupy movement itself is having a hard time controlling the encampments.
That's Mayor Jean Kwan confirming what many of us had suspected, that the attacks on the various Occupy camps and the evictions of those camps was a coordinated effort amongst 18 city mayors. And he certainly explains why everything has been brought to this boiling point today. No decision yet about whether the Zuccotti protesters will be allowed to return.
All right, so again, you have the mayor of Oakland, Ms. Kwan, talking about how a coordinated effort amongst 18 cities, 18 mayors, and later it was revealed that the Department of Homeland Security was involved on these discussions. And so that is the pattern. What we're going to see is a continuation of the Occupy movement. The Occupy movement was designed to raise consciousness. A lot of people couldn't understand what they were doing. The young people saw what happened to the Tea Party, how it was co-opted and taken over and made part of the radical right wing of the Republican Party. So they eschewed that. They didn't have any out front spokespersons, any leaders. They just kept their message and their talking points out there to get people to grasp what was happening in terms of the corruption, the graft, and the involvement of the government, and the intermingling, commingling with the interests of the corporate media and the corporations, to the point that the U.S. government had been subsumed by them. And basically, when that happens, you're talking about fascism as defined by Mussolini. Benito Mussolini, who said fascism should be called corporatism because it's a subsuming of the government to the corporatist interest. And so we're going to see that. That has been the pattern since day one, early on. Remember the trading companies early on that were the backbones of the colonies? Those were chartered monopoly corporations, the forerunners of corporations, actually. And so what we're seeing is that the corporations want monopoly. They want total control. So you're going to see that trend, that pattern continuing. You're going to see more consolidation where, because of deregulation and because the government is out of the way, the government no longer will protect us from the corporations. And you're going to see a consolidation of more banks. You're going to see the continued consolidation of media. You're going to see the consolidation of whole sectors of the certain particular sectors of the economy. You're going to see resistance. There have been isolated pockets of resistance to the World Trade Organization, to globalization. But in this country, you're going to see a shift in the resistance, where cities will probably crack down and deny them permits. So you're going to see a shift in tactics of the Occupy movement or the Occupy philosophy, where people continue to call attention to the economic apartheid in this country, the vast differences and gap in wealth between the less than 1% and the rest of the 99%. That's going to become even more glaring as the election year rolls out. The one thing that the elites don't want us to grasp is the immensity of the class warfare that is currently going on in this country. And so they'll do everything in their power to minimize that. And so what you will see is a violent and brutal crackdown of dissidents and protesters and demonstrators, but at the same time, the egregious behavior on Wall Street, in London, in Switzerland, which has caused the very conditions that the young people are railing against, and some of the people around the world are railing against, goes unchecked. And that's going to continue. There's going to be very few, if any, arrests, prosecutions, or indictments of Wall Street banksters, of the hedge fund managers, of the bond rating agency executives. They'll all get off scot-free. And you'll see this continuing pattern. You're going to see several more MF Globals roll out in 2012. The economy will continue to deteriorate. There will be a continued deindustrialization. There will be continued lies about the state of the economy. You will get bogus reports about green shoots and bounce backs and things like that, when the employment will continue to shrivel. The economy as a whole will shrivel because the debt to GDP ratio will get to the point where it's totally unsustainable. And if you doubt what I'm saying, go check out the recent statements by the head of the International Monetary Fund. And she, the lady who took over Strauss-Kahn's spot when he was framed and railroaded to get him out of the race for president in France, she has recently, as at the end of this year, has made some statements, very alarming statements about the situation in Europe. And that will filter down to us here in the United States. The United States will continue to beat the war drums for intervention in either Syria or Iran. The goal is to continue the Israeli plan to take out any opposition, and the only remaining opposition will be Syria, Lebanon, and Iran. And this has been a long-term Israeli project that has been taken up by the neocons and the military-industrial complex here in the United States. Look on the international level. The United States will continue to alienate much of the world. The U.S., the tandem of U.S.-NATO will continue to bum-rush the world and act as enforcers for the global banking system, the Bank of International Settlements, the IMF, the World Bank. Specifically, look for them to attack Sudan, because the Sudan has made overtures to China to broker their trade agreements, not in U.S. dollars, but in Chinese currency, yuan. And this is a no-no. Ever since World War II, the United States has, because of the Bretton Woods agreement, the United States dollar has been the global medium of exchange. And any threat to change that has resulted in either the leader of a country being assassinated or ousted, a la Saddam Hussein, most recently Muammar Gaddafi. And so look for the U.S. to continue to target Sudan. Now, they were already targeted along with North Korea, Iran, Cuba, Libya, because they were not part of the Bank of International Settlements Hydra of central bank arrangements. So they've gotten rid of Saddam Hussein. First thing they did was to rescind his policy on buying oil, trading in euros, the U.S. dollar. They did the same thing with Gaddafi, and look for them to do the same thing in, I guess now it would be North Sudan. But they're also going to target South Sudan because they have a lot of infrastructural agreements with the Chinese. South Sudan, which became an official nation in July of 2011, will continue to be targeted, and they will bum rush, they meaning the United States, the Anglo-Americans, and now France, who is even becoming increasingly belligerent under Sarkozy, which is the reason he was put in there, to be the lapdog for the Anglo-American axis of evil, because remember France and Germany opposed the invasion of Iraq, and so shortly after that it was the elections of Sarkozy, and the lady in Germany were arranged through use of money and big power by these banking interests. So we're going to continue to see that, just like Merkel and Sarkozy were put in, Monti and this in Italy, and this other person in Greece, were all coming from banking communities. In Africa, you're going to continue to see the same thing, where instead of military strongmen, you're going to see, like in Liberia and Cote d'Ivoire, the new elites will come out of the banking industry. And the banking industry will, in the new world order, will be the new lords of the manor being the whole earth in their mentality. This whole neo-colonial, neo-liberal, neo-feudal setup. The church will not be a factor. The media will take over the role of the church in terms of disseminating values, disseminating a worldview which will be constructed by the elites themselves. The knights and the freelancers will be, and the armies, the standing armies, will be replaced by NATO and other regional, so-called regional security apparatus, but they'll really be tools and puppets of the bankers and the ruling elites. If you doubt what I'm saying, just see any of the interviews with John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Again, they're going to go after Iran. They may do it through Syria, because if there's a NATO intervention in Syria, Syria and Iran have mutual defense agreements. I don't think, while a lot of people think that could be the trigger of World War III for them, for me I say World War IV, because World War III was the proxy wars from beginning with Korea on up to the present. I just don't see Russia getting involved. I mean, Russia and China have sold people out. They sold the Iranians out when they went along with the sanctions. And so it may come down to almost a clash of civilizations, where Iran, Syria, and maybe Pakistan look for a further alienation and a further turning away of Pakistan from the U.S. sphere, moving toward China. And so if that happens, and there is a conflagration, then China would be drawn into it, not merely so much because they're a trading partner with Iran, but through their dealings with Pakistan. And so these people are not beyond starting a nuclear holocaust. On the group program we had, a historic group program we had here on Rainbow Soul, Dr. Kanye talked about the two underground cities that have been destroyed. And so that sets the elites back. What that will do was that's two less continuity of government centers that they have. So now, unless they replace them, they'll have to scale back their intent for war, because basically their goal is to depopulate large swaths of humanity. Some suggest 80%. And if you doubt what I'm saying, go to your web browser and just type in global depopulation plan. Type in Haig, as in Alexander Haig, H-A-I-G dash Kissinger depopulation plan, or President Carter depopulation plan, Zinoviev, Brzezinski, any of those names, and link them with depopulation and see what comes up. And then peruse it for yourself and determine for yourself and look around at what has been going on in the world in the past 25 years. Also part and parcel to that is the crash of the United States economy. It's deliberate. If you look at the, go check, do some information on the Pecora Commission. Ferdinand Pecora, he did an investigation into the crash of 1929. And as a result of his findings, he had wide subpoena powers. He had the backing of the Roosevelt administration, which swept in 32 and controlled both houses. And he had broad subpoena powers, even subpoenaing and bringing in people like J.P. Morgan and some of the people of that ilk. And they came up with some, of course, the results have been sealed, but you can get a slight summation of what happened. And as a result of that, they passed some New Deal policies, primarily the Glass-Steagall Act. And so they understood when they repealed Glass-Steagall the implications that it would have. And so we're going to see more and more attempts by the one percenters to cover up their class warfare. And you're going to see more and more people become aware of it. And as a result, because this is an election year, a major election year, 2012, you're going to see more and more frustration. People are going to be put into a quagmire and forced into the dilemma of continuing the charade as if their vote means something. Or what you're going to see, and my prediction is, you're going to see more and more people drifting away, not showing any allegiance to either political party, because it's going to become crystal clear that they're one and the same in terms of class warfare and not being motivated to act in our behalf. And that's going to be ongoing. It's going to become more out in the open. You're also going to see revelations. There will be continuing gulfs and gaps between the politicians, particularly on a national level, and the masses. More and more of them are going to get richer and richer as they do the bidding of the kleptocrats and the corporations. And you're going to see this continuation of these massive trends where the people in, say, Congress, which was supposed to be the people's body, become like their counterparts in the Senate, which they're all, almost all of them are millionaires. And again, the insider trading that was busted wide open on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, that's going to continue. There's going to be no effort to shut that down. There will be efforts to reform Congress, make them abide by the same laws that they pass for us. That's going to probably be futile and go nowhere. You're going to see the continuation of more and more money appropriated for war and empire and less for the people. You're going to see more and more counties fall into the same situation, like Jefferson County, Alabama, where they're fighting bankruptcy. Primarily because they got stiffed when they went to the bankers for financing for their sewer and water treatment plant. And you're going to see more and more of that, where municipalities, counties, and even states are going to be forced to grapple with the issue of bankruptcy. Not so much just because tax revenues and revenues in general are floundering, but they won't be able to pay. And this is an important point from the standpoint of the system. Not so much because the failing economy is going to continuously reduce revenues, but because these government and the people won't be able to pay off their bond obligations for projects like incinerators, treatment plants, roads, things like that. That's the concern. That was the concern when Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, first announced that it was in trouble, to the point that I could read about it on the online version of the Financial Times, which is a London newspaper. And my question, looking at that, well, why would they be concerned about a small-sized city like Harrisburg? Well, the issue is the bonds that are floated are international. This is what's happening while the global economy is crashing, because the banksters over here sold all that junk, bundled it up in tranches, and sold it as AAA. And the people in Europe bought it. And now that the system is crashing, and you're going to, as a result of the system crashing, you're going to see more and more austerity. You're going to see more and more strikes, demonstrations, not just in Greece, not just in Spain, not just in Italy, but Ireland also. Ireland's in deep trouble. Portugal's in trouble. The United Kingdom is in trouble. That's why they chose not to go down with the EU. And the United States most definitely and most certainly is in deep trouble because of the over-leveraged and undercapitalized derivative markets, and the derivatives have been unregulated since they were created. It's nothing more than monopoly scams, just like Wall Street is rigged, just like the commodities market in Chicago is rigged. The derivatives are rigged. The problem is there are quadrillions of dollars of derivatives out there, and all it's going to take is for one fund to go belly up, and the whole system is going to collapse, because most of the banks are insolvent, and that's going to continue. The bailouts did not solve the problem. My prediction is that more and more people will become aware of the situation. And as MF Global showed, these people will steal our money, steal our assets, 401ks, our retirement and pension funds, with impunity, and the beat will go on. And that those are some of my predictions for 2012. But like I said, it's not written in stone. We don't have to go out like that. We can resist. We can resist not by picking up arms, although that is one option. The better option, the more successful option, would be to change our consciousness, to change away from an Esfetian consciousness with anarchy, deceit, imbalance, discord, war, predation, exploitation, and individualism, to a Machian consciousness, one that recognizes the divine order and attempts to live in harmony with it, in balance, and seek truth, justice, righteousness, peace, cooperation, and mutual aid based on love. That's something that hasn't been projected in this culture. Most of the avatars, the great teachers and the great lights of our time and of humanity stress that. It's just that the Esfetians, the people who want to usurp the power, who want to lord it over us by using fear, by using intimidation, by using manipulation, now psychological manipulation through the media, and a global police state want to have their new world order. The true world order is of my eye, and we must embrace that, particularly as first world people, as the people who conceptualized it, practiced it, and actualized it. We know how it's done. Native Americans, the people in the Pacific, the Africans who are still not fully mesmerized and duped by colonialism and the cultural imperialism of the West, we understand it. And those of us in the diaspora who are embracing African and Maasai values, we are the solution. We are the keys to solving this problem. But it first begins with love, begins with will, begins with determination to be who the Creator made us to be. And with that, we're going to close out today's program by encouraging you to engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow.
Cyberspace is the place that no army with artillery invades, where no military.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.